Well, as a kid growing up, I loved running. In elementary school, I was running road races. Middle school, I joined the track team. In high school, and I even ran 1 year of college track. I had a scholarship to a Division II school in Texas, and I just loved the sport of running. I was a long-distance runner, and in my high school, if you were white and skinny, they put you on the cross-country team, okay? And if you didn't do well there, then they move you to the chess club or to the band, but you started with the cross-country team. And so I weighed about 160 pounds and was on the cross-country team, loved the sport of running. And I still love it today. I don't do a lot of running today. I kind of got all that out of my system back in the day, but I love to watch running. This week on YouTube, I watched one of the greatest track meets, one of the greatest runs, races that I've ever seen before. It was called the Miracle Mile, and it took place in the 1950s. This is like so old school. But if you love the sport of running, you know that there was a guy named Roger Bannister who was the first man to ever run under 4 minutes in the mile. And it was something that a lot of people didn't even think was humanly possible, and then he pulled it off in the 1950s. Right behind him, there was a guy that was another runner, and he was competing against Bannister. His name was John Landy, and John Landy was the current world record holder, and he was the second man to run under 4 minutes in the mile. These guys are going head to head. This race is called the Miracle Mile. And so I watched the whole thing, and amazingly enough, John Landy, the Australian, is ahead by about 5 yards coming into the last curve, if you can just imagine this. And the Miracle Mile is 4 laps, and so they're coming out of that last turn in the fourth lap. And all of a sudden, the guy that's in the lead, the current world record holder, does something that every track and field coach always tells his runners to never do. Guess what he did? He looked back. He did like this. And right when he looked back, Roger Bannister, boom, went right past him and won the race. Beat him by several seconds. Both men commented after the race was over that they believed that John Landy, looking over his shoulder, broke his concentration and cost him the race. And you know, the same is true in the Christian life. We have to have a focus. We have to have a perspective. We have to have an intensity. We have to have a perspective if we're going to run the race that God has set before us. I believe one of the greatest images in the scripture describing the life of faith is that of a race. And in Hebrews chapter 12, the writer begins to pen these words: "And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Let us run with endurance. That's the question today. How can we run with endurance? How can we run and keep running? Because all of us get tired in this journey of life. We all get weary. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we get beat down. Sometimes we get uncertain. And how do we keep running the race that God has set before us? How do we do that? How do we do that? It's interesting, this verb to run is the main verb in chapter 12, verse 1. And it's an imperative. It's a command. It's like the writer is saying, run the race that God has set before you. It's a command. It's an imperative. It's something that we've got to do. It's not just kind of like, hey, when you get a minute, go jogging, you know, for the Lord. It's like, no, you got to run the race. And it's the one that God has put before you. How do we keep our eyes away from distractions and keep our focus on Jesus? I want us to see three things today, and I want you to write these down on your outline that's there in your worship folder. And the first is this: to keep our eyes on Jesus, we have to take our eyes off of our baggage. We gotta take our eyes off of our baggage and put those eyes on Jesus. If we're gonna be great runners, if we're gonna finish the course, if we're going to achieve what God has put in our heart to do, we can't get distracted by our baggage. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. Look at it in verse 1. "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every," say it with me, "weight and" what? and sin. There you go. Weight and sin, which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Before we get to the weight and the sin, notice what he says here in verse 1 in the beginning. He says we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Now, if you look at chapter 12, verse 1, you have to notice that the reference there is back to chapter 11. Because chapter 11 is what we call the roll call of faith. It's all of the great patriarchs and all the heroes of the Old Testament are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. And they're just listed out. Do you remember Abraham? Abraham, God promised him he was going to have a child. And that child of promise came by faith at the age of 100. And Abraham was a great man of faith. And then there was Moses. Moses split the Red Sea open and delivered the children of Israel. He had great faith. Then there was Noah. Noah had never seen it rain in the history of the world. It had never rained, and Noah had never seen it rain. And yet, Noah built a huge ark in his backyard. And don't you know that the HOA was going crazy sending him dirty letters? Then there was Joshua, who led the children of Israel around the walls of Jericho until they fell flat. And on and on and on, all of these great men and women of faith are listed out. And then he comes to this climactic conclusion in chapter 12, verse 1. He says, now we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. I want you to know today, as you're running in the race of faith, that there are people that are watching. Those that have gone before us are watching the race that we run. It's like the grandstands of heaven are filled, and they're not filled with just spectators, but they're filled with great athletes who have competed in the race of faith. This would be like playing football before a crowd of all Americans. This would be like running a race, and the grandstands are filled with Olympic gold medalists. We are running, we are competing, and the applause of heaven is the thing that's encouraging us today. I don't know about you, but when I used to play sports, I loved the crowd. I mean, a jeering, yelling crowd can bring adrenaline out of your body to play ball that you didn't even know was there, right? And I got to tell you, my mom was the loudest screamer in the stands. I got an old VHS videotape. I'm dating myself. And I was showing my son one of my high school races. And I had forgotten how loud my mom could yell. It's unbelievable. And I used to know where the other runners were on the track based on how loud my mom was screaming. If it was a casual yell, I was like, I got this. If it was right, it was like somebody closing fast. I better move, you know? Mom was my weapon. But mom helped me run, man, because she was screaming in the stands. If I had a little girlfriend in the stands, you know, then I was probably going to do a personal record that day on the track, you know? There's just something about people yelling for you. I want you to know today, church, you're not competing in the race of faith by yourself. There are people that are pulling for you, and they've gone before us. And the grandstands of heaven is filled with the applause of heaven. People want you to know today, don't you give up. Don't you start walking in the race of faith. Don't you wander off the path that God has for you. Keep running and keep fighting and keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Now see, the reason that we got baggage is because we have weights and we have sins. And this is why it's hard to run. It's hard to run because there's things that are encumbering us, right? There's things that are holding us back. Gina and I used to live in a neighborhood in Austin, Texas, called the Hyde Park neighborhood. It was just north of the University of Texas campus, and we had a streaker in our neighborhood. He was called the Hyde Park Streaker. I never saw the Hyde Park Streaker, but I had friends that had seen the streaker, and they could never catch him. People would call the police, the streakers in the neighborhood, and the police would drive around, and nobody could find the streaker. And I thought, why could nobody find the streaker? Because he was running so fast. I mean, if all you had on was a pair of Nike Airs, you could move too. He was unencumbered. Now, had he run around in a ski bib or a three-piece suit, everybody would have been able to see him or to catch him. But there's something about not being strapped down. In the ancient world, Olympic athletes competed in the nude. I took a whole class on ancient athletics at the university, and we studied this. And we had to do a group project at the end of the semester, and so me and my friends filmed the video, Ancient Athletics, from the waist up with our shirts off and the kneecaps down. It was quite a video. I know that Olympic athletes don't wear a lot more today, but they didn't want to be encumbered. And Jesus is saying to us, the Word of God is saying to us, that if we want to run the race effectively, we can't be weighted down. Now, what weights us down? It's our sin. Our sin keeps us from running. It might be sexual practices outside of God's will. It may be anger. It may be hostility. It may be fear. It may be worry and anxiety. Whatever it may be, those things constrict us. How can we run at the pace that God wants us to run if we're constantly like this? We can't do it. Everyone knows that a great runner is a relaxed runner. The moment that you get like this, when you're running, you can't move. So our sin constricts us and our weights. What is a weight? A weight is something that is not a sin, but it holds us back. He says there's a sin and there's a weight. It's not a sin to play video games. But if you play video games 10 hours a day and you can't even read your Bible 5 minutes, it's a weight. It's a weight. It's not a sin to go hunting, but if you go hunting every weekend and you don't spend any time with your family, it's a weight. It's a weight. There's nothing wrong with physical exercise. In fact, it's actually a really great thing. But if all you can do is lift weights and you can't come to church, that becomes a weight in your life. Becomes a weight. So he says, in order for us to run at the pace that God has for us, we have to strip off every sin and every weight and to keep our eyes on Jesus. Now, a lot of people think that if I could get the sin out of my life, I could focus on Jesus. But I want to submit to you today, I think it's actually the opposite. When you get your eyes on Jesus, that's when you stop sinning. It's not the opposite. People are like, I just wish I could get focused on Jesus. If I could just get all this stuff out of my life, I could focus. No. Focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus, and the other stuff will fall away. Don't get distracted by it. Don't get distracted. Now, when I was running track at the university, they had a health fair. And my roommate, who was another cross-country track runner, was my high school teammate, my college teammate. We went to the health fair, and they said, we want to get you guys body fat. So I walked over first, and they did my body fat, and the lady said, I have never seen this before in the history of my medical career. You have 0% body fat. She was like, well, who are you? And I was like, all I do is run all the time and eat vegetables. And she was like, okay. Then my roommate came up. He was even skinnier than me. He had negative 2% body fat, and they were really confounded by that. And I don't understand the math, and I'm not a doctor. I'm just telling you what the lady said. It was crazy. When you don't have things encumbering you, you can run. Amen? I mean, what about if we had 0% spiritual body fat, right? We could just run. We could run like the Hyde Park Streaker all day long, man. Run and run and run. So we got to strip everything down and keep our eyes on Jesus, not those things that encumber us, not those pieces of baggage that limit us, don't we? Now, what is the result of this? Well, when I'm weighted down, I don't feel close to God. When I'm weighted down, I feel burned out. I talk to people sometimes, they're like, Pastor, I'm burned out. I'm not coming to church. I'm like, well, wait a second. That's the worst thing you could do, right? I mean, come on. If you're burned out, then you got to look at what weight and what sins you're carrying, and you got to strip that off. And that's not missing church. When you come to church, it helps you pull things off of your life. It doesn't put things onto your life. But one of the symptoms of being weighted down is we feel burned out. We feel tired all the time. We live in doubt and fear. So the question is, what weights and what sins do you need to pull out of your life so that you can run the race that God has put before you and get rid of that baggage? But we also have to keep our eyes on Jesus, not our obstacles. There's a lot of obstacles, and an obstacle is anything that takes my focus off of Jesus. Notice he says, fix your eyes. Everybody say, fix your eyes. Fix your eyes. Yeah. Now, here's a trick question. Do you think that the writer of the Hebrews would say, fix your eyes, if that was easy to do? Probably not, right? Right. I mean, would the Bible need to say, do this, if it was just understood and easy to accomplish, right? I mean, just the very fact that we are instructed to fix our eyes tells us that this is a challenge. And I think practical experience and some time doing life validates what the scripture is saying. It's hard to be focused on Jesus. There's a lot of competing voices. There's a lot of competing problems. It's very easy to be wandering off or, you know, looking around. As a runner, you can never accomplish your goals and dreams as a runner if you're looking back. If I'm looking back at the past and my mistakes and my struggles, I can never focus on what God has for me in the future. If I'm running and I'm looking at other people, I'm not looking at Jesus. If I'm running and I'm looking down because of the shame and the fear that I feel, I will never keep my eyes on Jesus. So my goal is to not look back or to not look down or to not look beside, but to look up, and that is to Jesus. To look at Jesus. To look at Him. And that's what Simon Peter did when he was walking on the water. If you remember that back in the Gospels, he began to sink when he took his eyes off Jesus. When he was looking at Jesus, he was dialed in, man. He was doing the moonwalk. But when he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. So there's a focus. Man, today, are your eyes on Jesus? Are you focused on Jesus, or are you looking at those obstacles? Those obstacles. The obstacles are things that compete. Now, notice what the Bible describes Jesus as. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. He's not just one, He is both. What is the author of our faith? God has marked out the course of your life. Do you know that? God has a path for you. And God's path for your life is not the same as anybody else in this room. God has a unique course that your life is on. We're all totally different. As a runner, I remember running track and cross country. I liked track better because it was more predictable. And I knew exactly where the finish line was going to be, and I knew where I was. And, you know, you could compare your time in this race at this meet to this time in this race, and it was apples to apples. But in cross country, all that goes out the window because every course is totally different. Sometimes there's more uphill. Sometimes there's more downhill. Sometimes there's running, you know, on rocks. Sometimes you're running on grass. You don't know where you're going, truthfully. And I would oftentimes just get confused on where am I in this course. But you have to keep running. I think the Christian life is a lot more like a cross country course than it is a race on a track. We're not really sure where we're going. All we know is that God is leading us. I'm not sure if the path is going to the right or to the left. In fact, the moment that I believe that I've figured out God's path for my life, it takes another crook in another direction, doesn't it? So how do we cope with that? We keep our eyes on Jesus. We keep our eyes on Jesus. He's the author. So I don't have to have your course, and you don't have to have my course. What success in life for me is finishing the course that God has put out before me. But your course is going to be different. But we all can agree that we have to keep our eyes on Jesus to accomplish anything. Because if we don't, then we'll be distracted. We'll be running off in the woods. So He's the author. God, before you were born, constructed and orchestrated the path that your life would be on. And now your job is to finish that pace and that race. But He also says He's the perfecter. I mean, so God set the course out. He designed the course, but He's the perfecter. What is the perfecter? Perfecter means that God is the one that's training us. God is our coach. The role of a coach is to help a runner perform, to run faster, to be more efficient, to be better, to be more confident, to be more conditioned, if you will. And He's the perfecter. I remember one of the first cross-country meets that we would go to every season when I was in high school, we had to jump over these hay bales. And no other cross-country meet were we jumping over hay bales. And I hated those things. I mean, when you're running 5Ks, a 5K, you're already tired. And now you're jumping over hay bales. And I'm like, this is awful. And I said to the coach, I was like, Coach, why do we come here? And he said, Ryan, it's European style. Like, that was supposed to be, like, all cool to me. I was, like, not digging the European style. Cross-country, you know, hay bale, all this stuff. He said, but Ryan, listen, this is the first cross-country meet of the season. If you can jump hay bales now, think about how much stronger you're going to be when you get to the conference championship. This is just training. It hurts. It's difficult. It's frustrating. But you're being conditioned to succeed. Jesus is conditioning us. He's working out our imperfections. He sees our struggle. The testing of our faith produces perseverance, the book of James says, so that we can run the race of faith that God has put there before us, the one that he's put before us. So don't let your hurdles take your eyes off Jesus. And if you won't quit, you will win. If you won't quit, you'll win. You will win. It goes on and it says it was for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. Have you ever wondered why Jesus was joyful about being crucified? I mean, does that sound strange? I'm not sure if I was in the same position that I would have been quite as enthusiastic. I don't think this means that Jesus was just excited about the excruciating pain that he was going to endure. I think that Jesus saw the joy that was set before him because he knew that the redemption of humanity was about to take place. That the sinfulness of man, that problem that required a sacrifice, was about to be remedied. And he knew that he was the Lamb of God that was going to take away the sins of the world. And therefore, it was the joy that was set before him. And see, when we run the journey, when we run the path that God has put before us, then his joy will become our joy. That doesn't mean that every nuance of the race of faith is something that we love, but we know that God is doing something great in our life, and we persevere. Proverbs chapter 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways submit to him, and he'll make your path straight. If you only see the problems, you will never see the purpose. But God will bring purpose out of the pain so that we can alleviate the problems and so that we can finish the race that God has put before us. Finally, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus, not ourselves. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus, not ourselves. Look at this again. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And now check this out. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. See, the writer knows that runners get discouraged. Runners get injured. Runners get distracted. But in those moments, he says, consider him. Many times what we do is we consider ourselves. What's my opinion? God, how do I feel? What do I want to do? What was my goal for my life? What do I think should happen? And we begin to look introspectively only at ourselves. But he says, no, in the race of faith, consider him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't forget about Jesus. Don't get distracted in the race. Don't start looking around at everything else. Consider him. Consider him. And then the end result of that is that you will not grow weary and lose heart. See, the ultimate inspiration is looking at him. Is keeping our eyes on Jesus. Jesus had a tough journey. Jesus had a tough path, but he finished strong, didn't he? He did. And now we learn from him. We consider him. We think about him. We evaluate him. And when we look at Jesus, we will not lose heart. We run the race of faith not to earn our salvation, but because we have salvation. Because we have it. Vanderlei Lima went to the Athens Olympic Games in 2004 to do something that a Brazilian had never done before. That was to win the Olympic marathon. And deep into the race, he was in first place. Everybody thought, man, this guy's got it. He's going to win. But unexpectedly, a crazy fanatical fan tackled this runner on one of the final stretches of the marathon. How could that even happen? How could that happen? Well, Lima was delayed for 20 minutes. And he wasn't injured, but he was delayed, and two runners went past him. He ended up finishing third and taking the bronze medal. And this is what he said after the race. I'm not going to cry forever about the incident. Although it broke my concentration, I managed to finish. And the bronze medal is such a difficult marathon, it's a great achievement. Sometimes in the journey of faith, we get tackled along the way, don't we? We get taken out. We get distracted. It's not fair. It's not right. This should not have happened to me. But it's in those moments we have to get up, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus, and we have to finish the race the very best that we can. And if we do that, we will be people of great spiritual success. Church, let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's not be distracted. Let's not be discouraged. Let's keep our eyes on Him. Let's pray together.